Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them. And you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus.
Ark Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure game where most of humanity shelters underground. But Raiders rise to the surface in search of something greater. In the Rust Belt, danger isn't the end of the story. It's the beginning of the adventure. Every journey above ground is a gamble against the relentless machines of Ark and rival Raiders chasing the same dream. Explore a lethal yet vibrant world scarred by old conflicts and reclaimed by nature, where shifting conditions make every high-stakes run unpredictable. Ark Raiders. Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X, S, and PC. Rated T for Teen.
Do you agree with this? That if The Athletic did one of their, you know, like GM surveys that they do, if they did one of those today.
Yeah.
And it was redraft the quarterbacks.
Yeah, Drake May, Jaden Daniels, Caleb Williams.
See, I think today.
They would take him over
Bo Nix. I think today.
Stop.
I wouldn't.
Stop.
I would not put Bo Nix ahead of him.
Oh, man, that is the same thing that we talked about yesterday. And as Nick Wright is telling our guy, Danny Parkins.
His guy, too.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That Caleb would be the fourth quarterback taken in the draft. The look of pain and exasperation on Danny's television face. Oh, my goodness. Like, it was the Simpsons thing of, like, you could see where his heart breaks right here. Because Caleb is struggling.
So, look, going into the draft process, I want to be very clear. Not a fan of Drake May, not a fan of Bo Nix, okay? Was a fan of Jaden Daniels. I've been on the record with that. I also think that that gap between Caleb and Jaden was smaller than what people had said at the draft. And I also think it's smaller reversed now, okay? Bo Nix has been good. And he's gotten better, and he's clearly being coached hard, and he's taken to the coaching. His numbers are nice. He threw for 3,800 yards last year and completed 66% of his passes. Now, that's gone down a little bit so far, but he's also giving you a lot of extra with his legs. He's got 1,800 yards right now, and his touchdown interceptions is 3-1. He's 15-5. Last year, he was 29-12. So he's ahead of that right now. He's tracking in the right direction. It's
Drake May's efficiency numbers are off the charts.
Here's the thing about it. You're allowed to, with new information, think differently. Like, it's important to take in, like, I have to let go of some of my pre-draft bias on these guys and look at what they are right now. It's what I was saying to you about, we were talking about it as a possible topic. When does this year no longer mirror last year? And maybe we're at that point where the things that you hold as truth walking into a season aren't necessarily the things that are going to happen. Like, Washington's not good.
They're 3-5. They're 1-4 on the road. They got a lot of things that are unraveling right now.
And so then you start putting that into the context of the Bears and go, oh, that was the Bears' best win was Washington. And you go, oh, but what if they're not good? So when I start to look around, trying to figure out when that person is no longer their draft profile is interesting. Like, when does the rigors of an NFL career take precedent over what it is people thought was your ceiling coming out? I don't have an answer for that. It's just a hypothesis that I'm working through.
I think that's happening to us locally. Certainly. It's certainly happening to me. I mean, and you heard it. That was pretty heavy to hear a guy like Jason Leisure, who's very solid and sensible
and level-headed and
careful, expressing his concerns.
Same thing with Matt Bowen. Like, he's not emotional in his viewing of things. Like, he's pretty dispassionate when it comes to watching tape.
Yeah.
And hearing him be like, I don't know, guys, like, something's not.
Yeah. And with Bowen today, it felt similar to where I was on Monday, yesterday when I came in, of just like the moments of football awareness. Like, he was really bummed about the choice on the interception. Just knowing the game situation. And that's the thing. It's just like realizing where you are and what the situation is and what the right thing is to do. So,
By the way, since I mentioned Matt Bowen, because I'm not sure if I did this or not, he's brought to you by McGrath, Acura, and Westmont. When you do the math, you'll choose McGrath.
And we thank them because the Bowen segments are great. Jason was more upset about, or at least he highlighted, the volume of things, like the menu of things that are distressing. I bring up Mahomes, and I think your hypothesis is sensible in terms of where we are.
It's a working one. You gotta, you know.
But like, watching Mahomes last night in the second half, especially, is like, you see what he does, especially in the red zone. And the Bears have been struggling so much in the red zone, and that's where you, as the skilled quarterback with an understanding of everything and a spatial awareness and a game situation awareness, have to make things happen. Obviously, on run plays, you know, other people could make things happen. But when it's you out on the edge, or with the option to stay in the pocket or create and move things around, you're the guy who's got to figure that out. And that's why, like, on that last pass to DJ Moore, and there's this huge discrepancy among some people about, like, well, DJ's got to keep going. He covered himself with the linebacker. Like, no.
No. There were two windows before Caleb drops down sidearm to throw the ball.
DJ's, that window, like, that space between DJ and Caleb changes every instant as a play is happening. It's DJ's job to go find open space and be in it. And then it's the quarterback's job to get him the ball. How many times do you see quarterbacks make an adjustment, either with their eyes and they'll move somebody, or with their bodies and they'll jump, or they'll lean back, or with their arms, or by waiting a split second, or whatever, or they'll shovel it, you know? Like, there are a million, he could dump that over the top. There are a million ways to do it. It's up to him, but that's your job. Get the man the ball.
Throw the ball to the man. I'm a big proponent of that.
That's why that play's not on DJ for not anticipating where Caleb's window is.
It's Caleb's way.
No, it's right. But it's DJ's job. Go find open space and be in it. And there was other stuff going on the other side of that end zone. And if he kept going, he's going towards the traffic.
Right. You don't want to run yourself into being covered, which is why I keep asking about option routes, is because I want to get as much data on this as we can from people who know about this stuff.
Yeah.
And because I keep seeing it. I keep seeing receivers go, hey, if I go over there, if I finish the route,
yeah,
I'm running into a linebacker.
Right, right, right.
I'm right here. Throw me the ball.
Just go to open space. And DJ was in open space. So it's like, the stuff that makes Mahomes Mahomes is not just the crazy scramble on the run stuff. It's the little adjustments within the pocket. It's the adjustments within the red zone of just moving around and shuffling. And how many times have we seen great quarterbacks find a way to get a dude the ball in some other creative way if need be? And that was Caleb's job, and it is his job.
And Caleb is capable
of it.
Doing it.
Absolutely.
And we've seen him do it.
Nice touch on the little screen pass to DeAndre Swift the other day when he's like, oh, they baited the blitz. So he just floated it over the top to DeAndre Swift. Loved it.
Yes. We traffic in this, so I want to be very transparent about it. The industrial draft complex. Every year, especially when it comes to quarterbacks, we talk to a lot of people who work in the draft. And this is my opinion. I feel like every year the hyperbole, especially about quarterbacks, continues to rise. And it was the thing that unnerved me when we were talking about Caleb Williams. Part of the reason is I'm someone who watches college football.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not walking into it blind. I'm not the guy who only watches the NFL and then has opinions about guys who play college football. I'm watching every week. I watch a ton of Caleb's games live. And so I'm like, yeah, there's a lot of cool stuff in there, but there's some other things that you have to worry about. But whenever you voiced any sort of, like, he might, guy, like, all I would say is don't compare him to Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
No, that's a dangerous game to play because Patrick Mahomes is one of one. And look at how long it took us to get to him.
Well, part of that is that there's a philosophy which has been you draft the young quarterback that can maybe save you. And you just keep doing it the way the Bengals did with Burrow. Like, you will find that guy, but here's the thing. Do you keep repeating that? I remember having these conversations on the old show. And what if this doesn't work? Then you take the next one. I don't know, looking around, if that is still the right philosophy. As many rookies are succeeding, I also look around and see Daniel Jones about to get a big extension in Indianapolis. And I see Mayfield, and I see Darnold doing pretty well in Seattle after he did pretty well in Minnesota. And I see Minnesota struggling after Darnold.
Minnesota may have made a mistake.
Correct. So is the idea different now as you look at Goff succeeding in Detroit, that you go and find that and not necessarily just double down, triple down, quadruple down on the young quarterback who might save you?
But even with the Goff story, because people like to share that, Jared Goff had two back-to-back seasons in L.A.
But
where he threw for 4,700 yards.
But I was just throwing him in as an example of not going young. You don't necessarily have to. If this thing doesn't work, if we're here in 2 years and we're like, oh my God, they got to do it again, is the appetite for going and finding the next young guy going to be the same?
I'm not taking a shot at you when I say that. I'm just saying that, like, these are the types of things that end up happening because you are sold a bill of goods on a prospect, okay? And with Caleb Williams, like, that, it has become cultish even now.
I know.
Where if you levy, like, for example, I'll give you an example. One of the things that I said during the drafting, because when people started talking about Patrick Mahomes, I was like, why don't you stand Patrick Mahomes and Caleb Williams next to each other? And when I brought up the idea that perhaps Caleb is shorter than optimal for what you'd want in an NFL quarterback, well, he throws from all of these arm angles. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
And then you get into games and you go, oh, that's why Max Crosby was able to knock down those passes. Oh, that's why Chase Young was able to knock down some of those passes. Oh, that's why he didn't see DJ Moore in the back of the end zone. Some of that stuff, it gets shouted down.
And I'm just adding that part of why it gets shouted down is because the thought process has been you take the guy. You take the guy and figure it out.
And I think that that's still, I'm probably there. I'm probably still take, but
I might be shifting.
But you need to make sure that you have some sort of collateral, something where if your team is good,
you can pivot.
Or you can let a guy, you can incubate a guy.
If your team is good, yeah, you can incubate him.
You know, that you can make it work. And not everything is, it's not all, you know, all sizes. It's not all the eggs are in the basket. It's frustrating because part of this is we're fighting against what people have a preconceived notion of. That people were told, this guy is generational. This guy is Patrick Mahomes. And the way that I try to fight that emotion is to just say, look at how the quarterback position, how long it had to evolve for us to get Patrick Mahomes.
Mm-hmm.
And now you mean to tell me that the evolution is sped up so quickly in the game that 7 years later, there's a better version of him?
Trae Young is not Steph Curry.
You saw it last night. He wasn't Steph Curry.
I know.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them. And you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus.
Ark Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure game where most of humanity shelters underground. But Raiders rise to the surface in search of something greater. In the Rust Belt, danger isn't the end of the story. It's the beginning of the adventure. Every journey above ground is a gamble against the relentless machines of Ark and rival Raiders chasing the same dream. Explore a lethal yet vibrant world scarred by old conflicts and reclaimed by nature, where shifting conditions make every high-stakes run unpredictable. Ark Raiders. Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X, S, and PC. Rated T for Teen.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift, literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure, or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in, or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or DSW.com.
10 Jenkins.
I've got people real mad at me in Chicago that how dare you? There's a radio guy up there, Mike North. He was real mad.
Founder and CEO of Jenkins Elite.
I'm Tim Jenkins and welcome to All Things QB, where I watch every single clip and break down the most important ones today.
Breaking down the positives and negatives.
You've seen progressions that align with the quarterback's eye. I hope that's what we get more of, but I hope we continue to see some of these concepts and the way we build things are better for the quarterback versus just looks good on paper.
Tim Jenkins with Raheemi Harrison Grody on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Let's jump into the film.
That's exactly what we do with Tim Jenkins. We do jump into the film. He is at T Jenkins Elite on Twitter. He is the founder and CEO of Jenkins Elite. And he joins us now via The Score, the Circa Sports Illinois hotline. Download the Circa app today. He's also on Twitch, twitch.tv/Chicago670 The Score. Tim, always great of you to join us. And we've been debating it. What we saw out of Caleb Williams this week, after watching the tape, what did you see?
Yeah, I got to talk about these commercials, though, before I come on. I don't know if it's Ray that picks these or you guys, because first, he hits me with the vasectomy clinic when I've got my fifth kid on the way. And then he hits me with the Yingling, which you guys know is the way I get through some of these Bears games. So I'm like, I'm not sure who's picking them, but it's a great job. So, yeah, I think.
Congratulations on baby number 5. And yes, yeah. Yingling is a proud sponsor of 670 The Score.
I mean, and they're great with some of these misses that we've had in some of the boot games. So, listen, I think it's hard for me because you got to kind of peel back. If you peel back the emotion of winning and losing, I don't think Caleb's performance is really that different from some of the, you know, maybe the last 3 weeks that I've come on here where we've said, hey, Caleb's not playing, you know, it's not like he's playing outstanding football. He's not playing super poorly. He's just kind of, hey, we've got some good, we've got some bad, but everywhere else is stepping up, right? And then that's how we were winning some football games. Then all of a sudden, you kind of see how this game slips away from us. To me, we were moving the ball, I thought, extremely well between the 20s. Like, if you really peel back the tape and you look between the 20s, man, we were moving the football. We had just some absolute terrible stall outs in the red zone where there's guys open. We just have missed blocks in the run game. It really hurts us. And then, of course, I think that backed up interception was one of those where it's like, man, that just like puts our defense in such a bad spot. And then you start feeling like the game's slipping away. So I think there were obviously some huge mental errors in terms of, I think, the slide before half, like you hate to see. I think that backed up interception. You know, there's a lot of talk right now on Twitter about, hey, pure progressions. And does that then lead you to throwing interceptions? I think it's hard to blame, you know, a progression on that one, right? Like the guy's undercutting it, the ball's behind, it's a bad throw and probably a bad decision. We got to work to our back there. And I think, you know, the progression would lead you to the back. And then there's some kind of where it's like, I had a no grade because we didn't have a hot answer. There was just a lot of compounding errors when you turn on the film. And then it led to us, you know, getting beat by a team that was struggling and didn't have their quarterback.
Well, that's a big part of it for us, Tim. So when you talk about progression, if you can dumb it down for us, explain why that's even a question, and then what that would mean as far as you leading to that conclusion on the interception.
Yeah, so if you think of it broadly, there's really two different ways you read an NFL play. So there's pure progression, which means, let's just take that exact play, for example. It's play action. We have DJ Moore on what we would call a shot post, like a super deep post. He's number one. You have Rome on the dig. He's number two. And then you have your back in the flat. He's number three. And that doesn't matter, right? If they run quarters, they run single high man, whatever it is, that's your progression. It's 1 to 2 to 3. A lot of times you build those into plays that one are like maybe a whole field progression where it's like you're reading across the whole field, or you put them into plays where it's like, hey, sure, maybe they show quarters, but we're running play action, so we're not really sure how the coverage is going to hold, like from an integrity standpoint. So we need to make sure our eyes don't pass up what would be a broken coverage, or, you know, hey, a guy running open because we stretched them vertically. So there's the pure progressions where it's 1, 2, 3, no matter what. Then there's what we call PSL, so pre and post snap look. So, you know, you might have smash to one side and, hey, we like this against two high, right? Two shell. We want to read the smash side. And then, hey, maybe we have, you know, drive or something backside where you go, oh, hey, or you have really probably you'd pair it with toss, right? Hit a seam with a hitch. And then you say, oh, hey, against single high, we want to look at that seam and then down to the hitch because we feel like we can stress that corner and make him midpoint. So then the quarterback gets up there, you know, Y20 said hut. If they stay in too high, you read smash. If they roll the single high, he reads the Haas side. So that's the two ways you read it, which is really reading defenders or just looking at your guys. I think every great NFL offense has both elements to it. The Bears have both elements to it. And then I just think, like, if we're being honest about the interception play, we actually hit it earlier in the game. It was wide open. We go back to it. We reload it. The corner undercuts it. I don't think Rome is as sharp as he should be. I also don't think Caleb should be getting to that throw, honestly. I think he should be getting to his back because he gets off the post, gets to the dig. He's too late on the dig. He needs to just get to the back. And then unfortunately, it's like that's one of those mistakes that if you make, you know, if you make it your own 40, not as, you know, I don't want to say it's always a big deal if you throw an interception, but it's not as big. But hey, we made that coming out of our own end zone. You give them a short field, they score. At that point, it's kind of, you're all of a sudden in super catch-up mode.
Tim Jenkins joining us, founder and CEO of Jenkins Elite here on Raheemy Harris and Grody. Tim, I'm looking at Ben Johnson, and he's been very much accountable in a lot of ways in what he's saying. He's not doing enough. What are you seeing from the Ben Johnson play calling slash scheme where maybe he can help Caleb and this offense out, specifically in the red zone?
Yeah, I mean, there's a clip early on in the red zone where Caleb, the back is open, but there's nothing really that would tell me from a progression standpoint that I'm supposed to be getting to the back super quick. And then everybody else is just blanketed, right? Caleb starts to scramble. He gets tackled from behind. That one was one of those concepts where it just didn't seem, you know, it's a rarity, honestly, when you have Ben Johnson, you get in the red zone and you like can't really see, oh, hey, this guy's open in the progression, right? It's like, that was a rare one that, you know, he probably wants back from a call perspective. And then the one that really threw me for a loop was, I want to say we got called for intentional grounding on it, but they're in cover zero. They bring zero, right? And you know, that there's a big difference between cover one and cover zero. Being cover one, there's one safety back man across the board, so we can actually protect it, right? We have a guy for every guy. When a team goes cover zero, there's nobody deep. It's man across the board. And because obviously we have a quarterback, we can't block everybody. Even if our back stays in, our tight end stays in, we can't block everybody because they'll just add. So that play, we have a cover zero look coming at us. And at the point that the free runner is at Caleb Williams, there's not a single receiver with his eyes back to Caleb. Caleb ends up throwing it towards Rome. I think they call us for intentional grounding. That to me is a huge issue. From it's either one, hey, somebody busted, they're supposed to have a hot route and somebody busted, or two, we didn't have a hot route built into that play. And you think to yourself, you're on that edge of field goal range. That's when people tend to heat you up because they want to knock you out of field goal range. If we called in a play that doesn't have a hot at the edge of field goal range, that's a major issue. I, you know, like everybody else sitting at home, like I don't really believe that Ben probably, you know, called in a play that doesn't have a hot at that point in the field. So I'd be willing to bet we had a bust somewhere on the receivers. I mean, if Caleb's throwing it out towards Rome, you would tend to think, hey, maybe it was Rome who was supposed to adjust hot, and that's why his eyes were there. But that was the other one that I'd say was kind of a major concern. Everything else, I thought we were dressing stuff up. We were building stuff. I don't know if you guys remember that long screen to DeAndre Swift, but that was a can-can. So Caleb checked us into that play. It was an absolute perfect look for the way the Ravens, they were doing what's called blitz peel, where their guys off the edge blitz the quarterback unless the back releases to their side and then they peel off. So what the Bears actually did against the blitz peel is they put Swift on the right side, had him work all the way to the left while the guy on the left thinks the guy's coming over to protect when really it's coming over for screen. So the blitz peel rules are off. It was just like from a football nerd perspective, it was pretty awesome. So that one was, I think, exciting, and the fact that Caleb can to it. So I do think there was a lot of positive on the tape. Simultaneously, the two glaring errors were some of those red zone concepts where there's not really anybody open, and then obviously the one that didn't have a hot answer.
Yeah. So, okay. And Tim, this falls in line with some of the other people that we know that are watching the tape, and I appreciate the breakdown. It's so good. 24 games Caleb Williams has played. You have seen every game up close and personal in terms of watching the tape, the highs and the lows of it, the good and the bad. Is Caleb Williams, do you think, from watching all of his games, is he where he should be in terms of his development?
Such a great question. And I think, so if we're going to be honest and we're going to say, hey, 24 games in, the answer is no. What I would tell you, though, is if you were to tell me he's, you know, eight games in, seven, whatever it is, I think eight with the bye or no bye, but you've got eight with Ben Johnson, I say yes, right? That's the thing that's really hard about this is – we wasted his, and I hate saying it like this, but we wasted his rookie year,
you
right?
Did.
You had him basically with an offensive coordinator who doesn't script.
100.
You know, yeah. I don't know if you guys have heard, but I'm pretty fired up over here. Our third grade team, Mac Jenkins, made the Super Bowl. Listen, we script at the third grade level. So if he's not getting script in the NFL, that's terrible. So it's like, no, if you were to say, hey, I got a quarterback 24 games in, should he keep making some of these mistakes he's making? I'd tell you absolutely not.
Okay.
Simultaneously, if you were to say, hey, we're eight games in with Ben Johnson, I think we're maybe ahead of where Ben even thought we would be. And that's where it's kind of a nuanced answer. I hate saying that to you because it's not really a great definitive yes or no.
It's a hard question.
I'm excited at where I see him in this offense. However, I'm not thrilled that we're 24 games in and still having some of these errors. And I think a lot of that just has to do with it more or less felt like we saw, oh, wow, Caleb Williams is talented. And that's like really all we could say about his rookie year. There was nothing else that we really could definitively say because they weren't asking him to do anything that's required to be a championship quarterback.
No, we were just talking about that. Mm-hmm. And I unfortunately said you kind of have to throw away his first year. And unfortunately, it may have set him back in this development with Ben Johnson because of the Bears infrastructure at the time and what they were asking him to do, how much those bad habits get built in. I want to go back, though, to what you said, Tim, about how the Bears are repeating concepts and repeating formations. And while I don't think that that is uncommon in the NFL, I do think you hit on something when it comes to a smartly coached Ravens defense. I know they've struggled this year, but I wouldn't be surprised if that also means that you're telling the defense what you want to do and they're going to read some routes occasionally.
Yeah, you're 100%. So, and this is where it was funny because, you know, I said that and then everybody like and their mom, you know, I got D3 offensive coordinators like chirping me and it's like, dude, you know what I meant, but it's fine. It's great. You know,
I'm not going to get D3 about
they get it, mad at us for saying it's a setback. Like people just can't handle talking about this.
Yeah. Yeah. And then me and some OCs have great love for each other. So here's the deal that I'll say though is you said it, which is it's not uncommon in the NFL. And I agree. It's not uncommon if you were to factor in like quick game and like slightly downfield or people said Tom Brady said on an interview that he threw for 7,000 yards on Haas jolt. It's like no sorry, but it's like no duh, right?
Tom Brady. Let's wait for our dumb button to get back there.
Robbie, write that down.
Everybody on Twitch just started laughing.
Sorry, I just get a little fired up. You guys know me. I'm a big
it's authentic. We're good. You don't mean it.
But
it's
I get fired up about Haas jolt. But like, there's concepts that, of course, we repeat and we run a ton. The conversation though isn't about those. The conversation is about the one we talked about, which is the big stick at eight post. With the deep roll in, like design shot plays, you generally don't reload those. I'm going to tell you right now, the Broncos scored 44 points this last weekend. They didn't reload a single shot concept, okay? Now, the Bears did, and they hit Rome on a giant end, and then the next time they throw it, it's an interception. You are dead on when you say that. NFL DBs are not dumb, right? No matter how many times like people want to say athletes are dumb or whatever, they are extremely good at recognizing patterns, extremely good at recognizing formations. If they see a dude running something that they've seen before, and especially if they got beat on it, they are going to be all over it, and they're probably going to undercut it because they're sitting over there on the Microsoft Surface or whatever the heck they have now, swiping through, seeing exactly what's going on. And then if you reload it, you run the risk of those sorts of things happening. So to me, yeah, I totally agree in which I don't think we should be reloading those sorts of concepts. You want to reload stick, you want to reload Haas, it doesn't matter. But if you reload those shot plays and you generate a chunk play the first time you run it, you always run that risk. I don't think Ben Johnson, though, is naive to that. He understands that. I think where we need maybe a little bit more understanding would be from our quarterback's perspective of, okay, hey, we've ran this before. I need to be a little bit more sure on these windows. And if I don't feel like it's there, I need to get to my back, right? Because Ben is probably calling that from like a, hey, we're backed up. If we can hit Rome, awesome. If not, let's just get it to our back and get us to third and manageable. And that's just where we need to see the growth from Caleb. And I think we will. But again, that's where you say, okay, game 24, are you as excited? No. But when you consider it more like game 8, I'd be like, hey, okay, I understand that decision. So that's where it's kind of nuanced, I think, when you talk about Caleb versus some of these other second-year quarterbacks who have 24 games, because they have 24 games with the same play caller and the same system and the same head coach.
Now, Tim, that's a great point. And if you want more of Tim unfiltered, then you can go to his YouTube channel as well. That's also T. Jenkins Lead on YouTube, right?
All things QB.
My
all
bad.
All things QB. I made it as complicated as possible for people to figure it out.
So all things QB, he does release his quarterback breakdowns, his film breakdowns on Twitter as well. Tim, that was great stuff. We have a lot more to get to with you. I'm sure we will do the same next week.
Thanks, Tim.
Thank you. Tell Ray I'm sorry you had to get to that cursed button. So
it happens to the best of us. Football will make you cuss if you care about it enough.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks. That's Tim Jenkins. And hey, good news for the ever-growing Jenkins family. I secretly wonder if he's trying to get a 7-on-7 team together.
That's possible. He's well on his way.
The Jenkins kiddos?
They can hoop it up right now, right?
Yeah. And if he's telling you the script plays for his third grader, then what does that say? That was tremendous.
Is he getting the vasectomy, though, or not?
I mean, the evidence would probably indicate no.
Yeah, he's just going to keep going.
I'm not a doctor, but I play one on TV.
He's going to get vasectomies and drink Yinglings. That's right.
There are worse things.
There are worse things. I mean, that sounds like a nice afternoon.
Yinglinging it. Stop.
Yingling.
I knew it was coming.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them. And you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus.
ARK Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure game where most of humanity shelters underground. But Raiders rise to the surface in search of something greater. In the Rust Belt, danger isn't the end of the story. It's the beginning of the adventure. Every journey above ground is a gamble against the relentless machines of ARK and rival Raiders chasing the same dream. Explore a lethal yet vibrant world scarred by old conflicts and reclaimed by nature, where shifting conditions make every high-stakes run unpredictable. ARK Raiders. Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X, S, and PC. Rated T for Teen.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Chicago offense.
Matt Forte, Tulane University.
Touchdown, Bears! A dramatic catch by Matt Forte.
Matt Forte.
Forte, 50-yard run for a touchdown.
You know, just watching Matt Forte on film, watch him here. He can make those jump cuts. I mean, he can plant that left foot and then jump way over to the right and then plant the right foot and go upfield again.
10-year NFL veteran.
You know what, guys? It's a pleasure and an honor to be a part of this team. I'm excited about this. I haven't been on a team in a long time. It's good to be back home in Spiegel.
Two-time Pro Bowl selection.
I made the reference to Emmitt Smith. He wanted to be in the pistol formation. It was the eye because he wanted to be able to cut it back or keep it front side. When you're offset, you offset that running back. Now, that is tough as hell to make a cut. You know what I mean?
Well, and then that's one of the things Matt was talking about, how, like, if you're offset left,
yeah, the first step is sideways,
and then you're not coming downhill.
And I'm with Matt Forte. Him, he'd have been great for me. I'd have given him the ball 35 times.
you gave everybody the ball,
coach. He'd have hated me by the end of the season, but he would have rushed. He would might have led the league in rushing. Okay, he probably would have. Anyway.
Underrated, but I still be scoring Matt Forte. Matt Forte with Spiegel and Holmes.
I think we're on record of how important Matt is.
On 670 The Score.
We're on record with that, too. Matt Forte joins us now on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline, CircaLasVegas.com. Matt, before we get to the game, I wanted to share something with you because two of your guys from your draft class were talking because one of them is still playing quarterback in the league. And if he's healthy, the Bears will see Joe Flacco later on in the week. But wanted to run this by you because I'm watching the pregame show and I was like, oh, they just mentioned our guy, Matt Forte.
I thought maybe I'd ask you a little 2008 draft class trivia since we were both in that class. There are three players in the league from the 2008 draft class right now, you being one of them. Who are the other two?
And Josh Johnson.
Too easy, my bad. I can't stump this guy.
Which players went on to have the most rushing yards and receiving yards? So think about the running backs and receivers. Stood out.
Matt Forte? I would say Matt Forte.
Ding, ding, ding. Wide receiver now. How about that?
So I'm watching the pregame. I was like, oh, we got to get that. We got to make sure that we have that for Matt. So how about that? Three guys from your class are still playing. One of them may be quarterbacking the Bengals this weekend. And you were part of the trivia question of having the most rushing yards from your draft class.
Yeah, when you're part of a trivia question, that's how you know you're good and retired by that time. There's no Brandon Graham type of comeback for me anymore. So, but no, it's good to be, you know, mentioned, you know, like that and to be a part of that. And I mean, look at Joe continuing to go. We had a great draft class, by the way, 08. I mean, there's even the running backs within that. Chris Johnson, myself.
Jamal Charles was in there.
Ray Rice,
good for a little while.
Ray Rice.
Jonathan Stewart, I'm looking at
Jonathan
it right now.
Jonathan Stewart, Rashard Mendenhall. Mm-hmm.
Darren McFadden
and Felix Jones and just like a lot of guys. But then even the quarterbacks, though, came through there. Matt Ryan, you know, Joe Flacco, all those guys, man.
Yeah,
that's a
hell of a draft class. And there you are coming up on national TV. You mentioned Brandon Graham coming back as a D end for the Eagles. Man, that's crazy, huh? Like, did that get the group chat going? You guys talking about like, oh man, you see Brandon Graham? Look at him getting off the couch. Who's next?
well, he did. I know he didn't play or anything like that. It seems like I'm waiting to see how they use him and in what facet, because. You know, I'll get off the couch for a couple of mil if I could just be like a player coach, you know, just put on the pads again and go practice a little bit, run around a little bit, but just like, you know, don't touch me.
Well, yeah, you could buy a lot of feed for the horses at that point.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Man, you know what? I would be a great scout team guy right now, you know. Just, I know the looks, give them great looks out there, but just, I don't need to really play in the game. Just sign me for a scout team and, just don't give me scout team money.
So yeah, scout team, you don't have to finish the run, right? You just have to like start it off and then you can stop. Lamar Jackson played a scout team this past week and then they fudged that injury report. You ever been part of a fudged injury report, Matt Forte?
I've been a part of some that were kind of interesting that they were not accurate, you know, because you don't really want to tell anybody, especially the opponent, what you're really dealing with. So, you know, if you have a lower extremity injury, that could be anywhere, right? So it's like you just kind of very vague. One of the coaches that I had, John Fox, told me something that was hilarious that I thought was great. He said, well, when it comes to inside information with your team, locker room stuff, injuries, things like that, you got to treat them like mushrooms. And I'm like, what? Why would you treat them like mushrooms? Like, what do you mean? He says, well, you keep them in the dark and you feed them crap.
Oh, dude.
So I thought that was hilarious. Dude. I was like, well, okay, John, that's a good one.
And you remember it all these years later.
Well, and for those of us, Lawrence, who right had a chance to work through the John Fox regime when he didn't give you anything.
He was very much like a hockey coach, whereas like lower body, upper body, and that was pretty much the extent of what he was going to tell you about an injury.
And like all coaches try not to give you stuff, but he was the best I ever saw.
Yeah,
and not giving you anything.
He was completely locked down on the information, but
it's all a problem.
It's all a problem.
Yeah. Coaching this stuff's a problem.
That's right, John. All right, so Matt, what did you think about Sunday's game, and why didn't we see maybe the best version of the Bears offense?
Yeah, it was disappointing. Showing out there, obviously, the points weren't there, and then defensive wise, you know, it's hard to shut down somebody like Derrick Henry, even though they kept him under 100 yards, and also his average per carry wasn't that high. But you know, with two touchdowns. And I just don't think we executed within the red zone. And I don't think Caleb had his best game, obviously, from watching the film. There's some things that concerned me as far as the interception that he threw. It was like, I don't know what he was looking at on that one, but those are kind of the mistakes that really, you know, when you're playing a team like the Ravens, even without Lamar, I mean, it could have, if he was out there, it could have got really ugly. But, you know, you're not going to beat many teams in the NFL putting up, you know, 16 points and constantly kicking field goals and doing that. So I just, the running game wasn't there this week like we had the last few weeks, which, you know, contributes to complementary football on the passing game and the running game. And that wasn't there. So the passing game struggled in that aspect. I like that Rome, you know, got active out there. They got him the ball. But I think, you know, for this offense really to be, at, you know, running on all cylinders, obviously the running game we've seen in the past few weeks, and when we had a winning streak, that the running game is really important to this offense. But not only that, I think we really need to figure out how do we get DJ Moore the ball more down the field. And I think because he's dynamic and he's been pretty quiet within this offense. And I understand they're spreading the ball around and you know, kind of picking and choosing when to go play action and when to go deep. But we got to find a way to get him the ball in space, because he's if not the best player on the offense, he's one of them.
I wonder if DJ is struggling with this new offense in some of the ways that Caleb is, you know, in terms of the specificity. I don't know.
I doubt it.
You don't think so?
Just because he's, I mean, we're talking, DJ's been in the league, what, 8 years now?
Yeah.
Like, he's played in multiple offenses and he's been productive in pretty much all of them.
You're right. You're absolutely right. But I feel where Matt is going with that. Matt, did you see the last play, the last pass in the end zone, where Caleb threw it ahead of where DJ was? DJ's open in the back of the end zone, yeah, but Caleb throws it ahead of him, kind of expecting DJ to go to that space. Do you have a sense to how that worked out and how it should work out from your eyes?
Well, it looked like a kind of a sidearm throw that he tried to fit through there to not get it blocked, where I'm not sure if he could have, you know, it's when the ball's in the air for a long time, so when you're putting some touch on it or something like that, that's always dangerous. So maybe he was trying to be able to, and also that this is coming after throwing an interception. So sometimes that plays a mental game with you in that aspect. So didn't look or seem like they were on the same page as far as that last play. But my thing with DJ is that he's been in the league 8 years and has been, you know, productive in many different systems, as well as with many different quarterbacks. I don't want him to get so numb to the part of, all right, well, here we go again. I'm not going to complain, but I'm just going to be a part of this and I'll succeed when I can or when the opportunities come. I want him to kind of be actively engaged and continue, and not to, like, you know, reserve himself to that kind of mindset of, you know, okay, when coach calls my number, then I'll do it. But if not, then, you know, it is what it is. I don't want him to be that. I want him to, like, really, you know, maybe even, you know, meet with Ben and Caleb and, you know, kind of push towards, hey, like, when the game's on the line, or when it's, you know, or even when it's not, like, I want the ball in my hands. And I'm not trying to sit here and say I'm a ball hog or want to do it, but I want the ball in my hands, and not in the way where it's just, we're just forcing touches, like running reverses or, just even when, you know, earlier, even they put him at running back and stuff. Those are cool. But I'm talking about, like, really getting the ball in space, downfield, you know, designing plays for him to exploit the defense, where I know that's hard sometimes, especially if they're, you know, focusing on stopping him or anything like that. But you've seen when the run game is effective, and Rome, even this past game with the amount of catches and yards that he had, he can't be double teamed. So, you know, I feel like, you know, if they want to drop people into the box to stop the run, then let him have those one-on-one shots, because I think he can win more than he loses.
In your career, you caught almost 600 passes. So it's great that we can talk to you about being a running back, but also a little bit as a receiver. I'm interested in what happens on those plays where the receiver might have a choice on what to do. Sitting down, streaking, you know, turning it into an out. I love trying to figure out some of that stuff and how well it goes. When you look at someone like Travis Kelce and Patrick Mahomes, who seem to always know where the other one is going to be or what the other one is thinking. Did you have choice routes in your route tree? And what was important for you to make sure you and the quarterback were on the same page with?
Yeah, that comes with time and experience. And I've had, I mean, that's probably the bulk of the routes that I ran were choice routes where you can go around, you can go left or right, or you can sit it down in zone. And the key part is knowing the coverage, knowing if they're in zone or man, and then knowing what kind of coverage that is. Is it cover three? Is it cover two? You don't want to run into a blow up or anything like that. But then when it comes to kind of freestyling out there, because I think the best in the game right now at doing that is definitely Mahomes and Kelce, is you just kind of know. There's an highlight from a game we played the Patriots, and I'm on the backside of a play, and I see that the play is kind of covered, it's starting to break down, and I'm just running a 5-yard check down. Now the linebackers, I see him on me, he's right next to me, so I know Jay's not going to throw the ball, but he's looking for an outlet. And I know every route that had went up the field went up and to the left, and I'm on the right side. So in my mind, if I just run past this guy, it's a touchdown. So Jay looks my way. I kind of stutter step and then just ran right up the sideline. Boom, I catch it. Touchdown. That's not even in the playbook. But we did that because it's just kind of you're in the backfield. You know, in practice, you know, you run these plays and stuff, and you just kind of know what each other are thinking without even saying anything. So he just, you know, he looked my way and I took off and it ended up being a touchdown. So if we can get, you know, to the continuity level of that, of where, you know, you just been playing together so long that you just know, and that comes with time within a new system as well. I think that that will definitely help us out on offense too.
All right, it's good stuff, and that can help us be patient. It's hard out here to be patient with this young quarterback because we've been through the young quarterback thing a lot in this town, Matt. So, but your eye is so helpful. So without thinking about the long run and the development and all that, just focus on this game. What concerned you about Caleb? You said there were a couple things. You mentioned the interception, but just in the bubble on this game, what concerned you?
I would say efficiency of, you know, there was, you know, 65% completion, which is above, you know, half, but it's not in the 70 range, the 75% range where, you know, you'd like to see. And then, you know, the average was under 10 yards. When you're passing the ball, you're trying, you know, in a perfect world. And when you do that, you want the average play or per catch to be where it's, you know, at least 10 for passing. And then, you know, just I guess his reads sometimes, it's inconsistency of that. There's a lot of times where you see he makes a good decision, and it looks like he knows exactly, he's confident, he knows exactly what the coverage was and knows where to go with the ball. And then sometimes there's a guy that may be open and maybe he's the first read, maybe he's not. You know, I'm not in the huddle, but sometimes you got to take what the defense gives you. If it's a flat route is open, you know, throw it to the flat route. It's a 2-yard, 3-yard route, but you never know. A guy may break a tackle and go, you know, for 20 or go to distance. So sometimes instead of trying to make so many things happen, you know, take the guy who's open immediately.
Yeah, I find myself in a similar place where it's weird too, Matt, because I feel like Caleb's a really creative dude and I don't want to stifle that. But I also would like the Bears to get into 2nd and 5 and 3rd and 2. And sometimes I feel like the spectacular plays are going to happen just because he's too talented for it not to. I'm waiting for him to get comfortable in the boring part of playing quarterback.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Like methodical play drives down the field, they aren't, you know, necessarily the thing that gets on the highlight screens and things like that. But that's what wins you games, and that's what demoralizes the defense. When you go on those 15, 18 play drives and you're, you know, throwing checkdowns at 5 yards, or you're doing an option route and you're throwing, you know, 10 yard outs and comebacks, and then you're running the ball for, you know, you get 3 here, you get 4 here, you get 7, and you're just kind of, you know, chopping away at the tree, you know, so to speak. You know, it's not a chainsaw where you just kind of can buzz right through it. It's something that's going to take time and patience and work at it. And I agree with you, man. I want him to get comfortable with the mundaneness of managing the game, where, okay, I didn't have to do anything special, super special today, but I was accurate and I was on point with reads and timing and all the things that go into, you know, being an efficient offense where, you know, if there's things that's out there that the defense is giving us, this league is too good, and people in the defensive guys are too good to not take what's given to you.
Good stuff from Matt Forte today. Hey, Matt, you heard it in the open. Dave Wanstead said he would have loved to have you as a player, and he would have given you the ball 35 times a game. Would you be okay with that, or would you have hated him after
a
while?
Yeah, I heard him say he would have hated me. It was like, I would have hated him. I'm like, dude, I got the ball every play anyway. I was running and catching the ball. I got the ball 35 times a game anyway. So I probably would have just not had as many catches, but I would have had way more rushes, which, you know, it would have been fine with me as long as we were, you know, winning the game and not getting 2 yards a carry after, like, really running the ball. So
you're right.
And that's how you end up as an answer on a trivia question.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, 102 catches and 14 to go along with the 266 carries. Yeah, I guess it didn't matter. Yeah. You were getting the ball every damn
time
anyway.
All the time anyway. Matt, as always, man, we appreciate you. Thanks for jumping on.
All right, fellas.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them. And you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus.
ARK Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure game where most of humanity shelters underground. But Raiders rise to the surface in search of something greater. In the Rust Belt, danger isn't the end of the story. It's the beginning of the adventure. Every journey above ground is a gamble against the relentless machines of ARK and rival Raiders chasing the same dream. Explore a lethal yet vibrant world scarred by old conflicts and reclaimed by nature, where shifting conditions make every high-stakes run unpredictable. ARK Raiders. Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X, S, and PC. Rated T for Teen.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.